Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is the word of the Lord.
We're going to spend a few moments thinking about those words, so let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your gift to us that we are free to open and engage with this morning. By your Spirit now, we ask that you'd come, that you'd open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to hear what you want to say to us together this morning. Amen. Just getting myself organized. I don't know if you've noticed, is Paul here this morning? I know he was at St. Lawrence. I know sometimes, I'm about to mention him, that's all. Don't tell him, Lynn. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I noticed that last week, if I'm leading a service, I come and set the microphone up. Paul invariably gets here, and he has to put it right up like that. And it's just, so it's nice when you're leading and preaching, you don't have to faff around with the microphone as much, but poor Paul, he forgets how short I really am. The staff team have ongoing jokes about how short I am, and we're reading, this has nothing to do with today, but we're reading a book at the moment, and we read a chapter each week, and luckily I wasn't here this week, because the title of the chapter that we read as a staff team who constantly make fun of my height, was called Appropriate Smallness, which is brilliant, so there we go, I think I've got it. What's that got to do with any of this? Very little at all. But what we're doing today is we're thinking about the second part of really refreshing our minds, or talking for the first time if you're newish, about what our values are as a church here at St. Francis. And so Paul started that last week. This week I'm continuing it with a view to, over the next few weeks from here, thinking about what our vision is for 2016 and beyond as a church. But we wanted to just start the year by saying again, what are our values as a church, that we are and that we aspire to be as well? I don't know if anything's going to appear on the screen or not. So yeah, there we go. So these are the two values we're looking at today. One is that we aim to be a church that is a body. And we just heard that in the reading, that incredible picture of a body of people. Alive, vibrant, and prayerful. Not an institution, but a movement of radical love. And secondly, a people of action, where each person says, God can use me, and where we live and serve 24/7 to proclaim the good news of God's love. And that's what we're going to think about a little bit together this morning. Sort of key to all of this is we're not standing up and saying, this is us and aren't we great? We're saying this is really who we're asking God to help us become more like. And so maybe you could sort of make that prayer for yourself, that all the things we think about now, we're actually saying, God, would you come and make us more like the people you're calling us to be? The reading that Karen just read talks about the body increasingly growing in maturity. So we're by no means a finished article as Christians, but increasingly together we grow in maturity into the body of which Christ is the head. And so that's what we're going to think about this morning. And to help us think about these two different areas, I'm going to just pick on three particular points that I hope will be helpful for us today. And the first is to think about that image of the body. It's an image that we see several times in the New Testament that Paul particularly uses to encourage his new Christians, his fledgling church, in their relationship with each other and their relationship to the world. There's another example very similar to the one we just heard in 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And so key to being a body is that we recognize that each of us here has a unique and essential contribution to make to the life of the church. However audible or visual your gifting may be, it is essential. In that Corinthians passage, Paul goes on to talk about how silly it would be for an ear to compare itself to an eye, or for a hand to start saying it had no use of the feet. Actually, a body is reliant on its many parts rather than just one. As many of you know, we now have a 4-and-a-bit-year-old baby who's on the front row this morning. Very, very cute. And there's lots of things you sort of forget and are reminded of about having a little one. And one of them at the moment for Jacob is that unless he's fast asleep, he really likes to be held by one of us, which is lovely and precious, and I don't want to wish that time away. But what it does is it really restricts what you can do when you're holding him. And so I've been reminded that when you've got a baby here, there are certain things you can't do. And I spent 10 minutes trying to open our biscuit tin the other day, and I just couldn't do it. I had him here, and I sort of, because you know, you need pressure on the bottom and the top, and I was sort of trying with the baby here to sort of wedge my elbow against the tin and pry it open. Just couldn't get anywhere near the biscuit. So frustrating. I said this at the 10, at the 9:30. A very wise mum came and told me how to do it. So it's all about the feet. You've got to get it between your feet and wedge it up. So expect the biscuits to start disappearing quickly. So that's the body of Christ. I didn't know how to do it. Someone has told me fruitfulness from here on in. There we go. But that's absolutely right. Physically as a body, the parts need each other and are codependent. The world often tells us that we're to be self-sufficient, self-made people. The Christian message is really countercultural. It says, actually, we're called into a community of reliance upon each other, which is an incredible privilege that we're called to that for one another, but a responsibility as well. When we think of ourselves as different parts of the same body, it both stops us being over the top about how great we are. It stops us thinking we can do it all by ourselves, and it ensures that we value each other person. And so key to this idea of being a body is that this morning you know that you are so valuable, that God has called you not by accident, not to make up the numbers. My left hand doesn't make up the numbers for my right one. They're both really important. You are really important to this church. Whether you've been here for donkey's years or 5 minutes, you are really, really important to this church. You can do something for God in this community, both within these walls and outside of them, that no one else can do, because your gifting is unique to you. It's gifted by the Spirit, and it's something that you can do and we can't replicate. So we need you, and we need you to be fully committed to the church. God wants you to be and asks you to be. So know that you are valuable. Know that you have something to offer, that you are an essential part of the body. And we want to honor you. And I think as a leadership, if ever we didn't do that, we'd like you to tell us. If ever we accidentally overlooked somebody or treated anyone as a second-class citizen, we'd like you to tell us, because we don't want to do that. We want to see each person here as a valued member of the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the parts of the body. And so to fulfill that first value, we need to understand that a body is not one or two people on their own, but it's each of us bringing our unique gifting and relying on each other, working together. But of course, being a body is no good unless we're fully alive and fully awake. So if we can flick on, please. We're called to be alive and vibrant. Again, if you'll forgive another family life analogy, over the years I've realized, and correct me if I'm wrong, no one likes being woken up. Some people are better at getting out of bed and being awake and are happy in the mornings, but no one surely likes the process of being woken up. If you're in a sleep, restful, cozy, comfortable, having a nice dream, and something interrupts that, it's not a nice feeling. And that's one we're, once again, overly familiar with in our house at the moment with a little baby. But no one likes being woken up. It's a hard, horrible thing. And I can see some people sympathizing with each other around the room as well. But Paul, later on in this book to Ephesians, he uses that analogy unashamedly. He says to the church, wake up. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And it's an image he uses a few times, because to be a body is fairly useless unless we're awake and alive and ready to do the things that God calls us to do. It's worth bearing in mind that Paul here is addressing Christians, people who have met Jesus and walked with him and who are serving him, yet he says to them, you need to wake up. And my own life tells very clearly that it's so possible to sleepwalk in our serving of God and in our faith and in our discipleship, to get caught napping when he calls us to do something, because we like to be asleep, but actually there's a call to wake up. And the promise is that Christ will shine on you as you put yourself in that place of availability, of wanting to be alive to the possibilities of what he wants to do in your life. He will shine on you. He will empower you. That was the gift of the Spirit right from the start of Scripture, that God breathed life into people. I don't know if you've ever been in a hotel and as you've checked in, the receptionist has said, would you like a wake-up call in the morning? Now, the answer is probably nearly always no, but if you needed one, you would probably ask for one. Well, I think it's okay to sometimes say to God, would you come and wake me up? To recognize that there might be an area of your life that you are sleepwalking in a little bit. You're less alive to who God is and that he's with you and that he has a calling on your life, and maybe not alive to each other in the way that you once have been. Maybe today's a day to say, God, would you give me a wake-up call? I might not enjoy it, but I know I need it to be woken up so that Christ will shine on you in our lives. Because that's the kind of body we want to be, alive, awake. Having said, wake up and Christ will shine on you, Paul says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So Paul recognized that these people needed to be awake because every day was full of opportunity. Our lives every day are full of opportunity to serve God, to recognize what God is doing, but we've got to be awake to see them. Remember that we live under this big story that God has created the world, that it's gone wrong, that he sent Jesus, and now we have his Spirit and we're called into his mission. Wake up to that reality that that's what life is. Because the world will tell us that that's not the reality. There is no big story. It's just you doing your thing. But wake up. Christ will shine on you.